I'm Kamaya Truitt-Martin, and this is the WUNC Youth Podcast. Each time, we explore the question, what is news? We're joined by G. Yamazawa. He's a poet-turned-rapper from Durham, North Carolina. This song, North CAC, has been blowing up this summer.
One of my punchlines are where you're viking off. I know I'm frightening y'all long as a mic is involved. Relocated to Cali, but I ain't liking the smog. I'm a Southern North Star, I be the light in the dark. Be the right and the wrong, I be the reason the Bull City feeds me. Bull City grease me, Bull City needs me. Everywhere I go, I got that Bull City greeting. That's why they throw the horns when the Bull City sees me. It's the North CAC, baby, I'm a boss. Carolina barbecue sauce with the slaw.
G was one of my mentors in a slam poetry group called Sacrificial Poets. G, it's great to talk to you. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. So what's it been like to have a hit song? I mean, it's really, really happening.
It's been really cool. It's been overwhelming in some ways. It's been really validating in other ways. It's been, just really exciting. And if anything I've learned over the few years is just to really enjoy it, and that also the work comes first. So I'm nervous about what, you know, is the next one I'm going to do or something like that and stuff. So.
All right. I feel you.
Right now, I've just been enjoying it for sure, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely understand. You have arsenal of, like, dope stuff, so I wouldn't be worried. But this year, we've been focusing on hip-hop and poetry as a way to get news from a new perspective. And a lot of your album contains creative political commentary over extremely dope beats. I just want to know, what is the process in putting it all together?
I think, at least for me, and what I would think a lot of artists are driven by is like just sort of the landscape of the culture and your place in it. And so for me, you know, for me, art is always my way of being able to respond to issues in society. I'm not in a higher educational ecosystem. I'm not in art. I'm not in like physical activities. You know, art is my way of sort of channeling all this frustration and anguish and trying to get a certain kind of understanding about what's going on, and then what I can do to help it in my own unique way. So, you know, I don't think I ever really just sat there and was like, I need to do this kind of song or this kind of song, or I'll kind of listen to a beat. Like, if anyone heard the album, there's a song called Talk That Talk. And I got, someone sent me that beat on November 9th or 10th, like right after Trump was elected, you know, and it was one of those things where I think the sound just really was the perfect setting for me to be able to air out my own frustrations and air out how I feel about the situation and not relying on social media and sort of those kind of outlets for me to easily be able to just air out frustration.
Right. It's crazy that you mentioned that, because that's one of my favorite songs in the album. And I actually want to hear a little more of it now. So we're going to take a quick break and listen to the song Talk That Talk by G. Yamazawa. He's our guest on the WUNC Youth Podcast.
I'ma keep riding, I'ma keep shining, I'ma be honest. Voila, sci-fi, almighty Allah and Siddhartha. My God, look what happened when the mall cop wanna throw a bullet, but he really let the ball drop. Where your man's at? Where the good at? Where the clan at? Where the hood at? Is the burning cross the sermon fault? They blame black bodies, the furnace cough. Y'all just wanna talk, that's privilege. You ain't never offset Auschwitz, did ya? You ain't
know they that's Talk That Talk by G. Yamazawa. I love this song because you somewhat personify America and then start calling out the flaws. But if you don't mind, could you go a little bit more in depth and just describe what exactly you were trying to communicate with that song?
So the hook is, you know, why you talk that talk, homeboy, you don't walk that walk. Like, I think what the heart of that song is coming from is from me transitioning from poetry into hip hop. It's kind of a basis, right? So it's like I'm used to, like, it's the age old debate about whether art is for you or if art is for the world, or if it's for social justice, and what is the balance of that. And, you know, most of my music, I'd say most of the time, is really directed towards myself. If there's questions or flaws or things, you know, it's oftentimes a conversation I'm having with myself. So for me, it's sort of like, what makes you feel like you can talk about these political issues when you're not, if I'm not really doing anything about it? What can I possibly do about it? And then I think a lot of young people right now are dealing with that frustration of, like, with all of these things that are really messed up right now, you know, like a lot of young people are sort of asking themselves very deeply, like, what can I possibly do? And so, you know, I think the frustrations are there. And then as the song develops, you know, I think I wanted to take a stand and sort of, you know, this may or may not help. I'm not sure. But all I know is that if this is the way that I interact with the world, and this is through music and through writing and performance, then I absolutely have to say something, whether someone believes that it's actually changing something or it isn't.
Right. I feel that. And, you know, I really get how hip hop is an avenue to express yourself and everything that you're feeling. But do you think it could also be a form of news?
In a way, like, what's interesting is, like, I feel that now news has really broadened itself into different forms. And, you know, one of the main forms for, like, my generation and younger is, of course, social media. And then, you know, not only do you get news clips, but you also get a personalized reaction to it. And so if one incident happens politically, and I hear one friend speak about it in this manner, and I hear another friend give me a different kind of perspective, then you have more things to sort of work with and to discuss. And so I think that at this point, maybe some folks, if anyone, you know, has the time and investment into wanting to get to number 10 or 9 or whatever on my album and is interested to see what you know, me as a Japanese American cat who's into hip hop and poetry out of North Carolina is like, what kind of unique perspective that they're interested in hearing me talk about, then I think maybe that could be a form of just a different perspective that may or may not be seen on social media. And that, you know, I think music has a really unique way of sinking into people's lives, like really mantra style, you know, and it not being just news that you hear about and it being more of an emotional attachment to it. And that's something that people can, I would hope that it can become somewhat of a theme and a sound in their life that will remind them of this phase and this time of our life.
Mm. Yeah. So what kind of social issues do you think are best addressed through hip hop?
That's the thing, is I think hip hop loses its power when you sort of compartmentalize it like that. Not saying that that's what you're doing, but what I'm saying is, like, you know, hip hop is, man, it's such a thick dialogue, but I think it's for anybody and everything. And the way art is so interpretive, you can interpret it in many different ways. Somebody could be trying to do something really positive and someone takes it very negatively. Someone could be doing something very negatively and it actually becomes a positive function in someone's life. You know, I just came back from Brave New Voices, which is a huge, for folks who don't know, is a huge youth poetry international festival. And one of the most memorable poems of the week was this poem from Baton Rouge team, and they had a poem, it was like a praise poem for Soulja Boy. You know, they were calling him their humble prince, and, you know, just really, really praising him for what he's done for, like, Southern Black youth, and having a voice in and of itself, how that sort of a political stance, whether people feel that it's negative or it's not, he's speaking to his own generation, and he's you know, there are, like, you know, there's a oneness in everything. And so I really try to just find the oneness in it all, and try my best to not, like, compartmentalize issues and sounds and what can go in with what, or if that makes sense. We may have strayed away from the question a little bit. I apologize.
No, I think you fell in line with the question very nicely, because, mm-hmm. you know, it's not like a category that you can just, you know, outline a specific rubric to, you know what I'm saying? And I think that your album kind of encompasses every aspect, especially with your Japanese American influence and then the influence of hip hop on you and how it's kind of developed you as a writer and as a rapper. I think that's really, really dope. Speaking of which, I wanted to know, on some of the songs in the album, you give a shout out to the influence of Black culture, and I just wanted to know why you thought it was important.
Well, you know, hip hop is Black culture. Hip hop is Black music, and it derives from the lineage of Black struggle and Black politics and Black resilience. And I think that as much as it is Black, of course, it also is American. Like, I think that's one thing that is important for me to connect for folks who are not Black or don't identify as Black, is that it's ultimately is the story of America, and it's at every level. And that, you know, there's, and I've done this earlier before this project as well. And this is a topic that has resurfaces and will continue to resurface throughout my entire life. It'll kind of just always be a natural thread of who I am and why I feel that, why I feel welcomed into this art form, and how that love and that kind of understanding of America through a Black perspective has allowed me to really, I think, actualize myself. And it's given me a space to be able to understand about my own culture and my own background, and to be able to share that and advocate for that just as much as well. And it all being a part of an inclusive sort of vision for how we see, you know, society really evolving.
Hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Sometimes I like put in, you know, not big words, but like I try to sound deep. I don't know if it's that deep. Maybe it's not. Who knows? Sorry.
No, that was dope. I don't think you didn't really use big words. It was like, oh, you know, kosher. Okay. One of our youth reporters had a question about how Black's culture's influence in helping you self-actualize and really relate back to your culture. Could you just go more in depth with that? And then also, could you get closer to the mic a little bit? Because we're kind of losing you.
I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine.
Well, the first question, I would say, as for someone for my story, being somebody that felt like I didn't belong anywhere, just naturally, Black folks sort of allowed me to welcome me into their homes and their space and their community and their circle of friends. And that in and of itself, is like a sense of survival. It's a sense of people, you know, that kind of natural human to human interaction and building and bonding is a natural. It's like a deep thread of my life, and that's how I was able to, you know, feel like I am American actually. And so hip hop, and I'd say sports too, and the camaraderie that came with sports and American team sports is like things that made me feel like I was important, and the things that made me feel like I was valuable, and celebrated how different I was, and celebrated that I was able to, you know, in essence, assimilate to American culture through hip hop and not through other mainstream ways. Because hip hop, as big and as mainstream as it seems, it still is a counter narrative. You know, it still is an undercurrent to what you see on the news, to what people see globally on the news, to what people see globally through our movies and through our, you know, y'all know the story. It's everything is very whitewashed and everything is made to seem like it's this one thing. And hip hop provides a different perspective. And in hip hop is where I felt most comfortable being able to share, you know, another counter narrative to that, which is an immigrant narrative, which is another, you know, more minority narrative. And so, yeah, hip hop is just, and it's kind of just always been a part of my life and the way that I express myself through fashion and through language and diction and through just, you know, the whole way you view the world through a 4-count, you know, bar.
G. Yamazawa is a hip hop artist and performance poet.
His album Shouts Out to Derm is available on iTunes and most places people download music. G, thank you for your time. Carolina barbecue sauce with the slaw. I'm the safe, the cellar, and the vault. I'm the best, the effect, and the cause. I'm the law. It's the North Cat, baby. I'm a boss. Carolina barbecue sauce with the slaw. I'm the safe, the cellar, and the vault. I'm the best, the effect, and the cause. I'm the law. I'm the truth, man. Looking real false. Whenever I hit the booth. One thing that G writes about a lot is his identity as a Japanese American. Last summer, our youth reporter Gayathri Raghavendra produced this story about growing up in the thriving Indian community in Cary.
Yeah, I know, it doesn't seem like a big deal, but it's been 5 years since I've gotten a real haircut. You see, to me and my dad, these 18 inches mean a lot more than just cosmetic change.
So if I want my kids to look beautiful, to look traditional, divine, Indian, whatever, just a long hair kind of goes with it.
Cutting my hair means shedding a part of my Indian identity and replacing with something more distinctly American. I'm a second-generation Indian-American teenager. My parents immigrated to North Carolina before I was born, and I grew up here. Living between two cultures is kind of like a roller coaster. When I was a kid, I'll be honest, I wish that I were white. I couldn't stand the thought of being Indian because I just wanted to fit in. But my parents made a deliberate attempt to keep my sister and me connected to our Indian heritage. We learned Carnatic music, a traditional form of music from South India. That's me playing veena, an ancient Indian instrument. I still go to class every week and learn veena from my guru of nearly 10 years. It's ironic, because when it comes to ancient Indian culture, I seem to know more than my parents.
Even though I didn't learn traditional music, you guys learned traditional music, and I think that enriched your lives, and it certainly enriched mine.
I'm into veena. I play, I practice, but at school when I'm around my friends, I play it down. I'm self-conscious about being too Indian. One of my biggest fears is for people to think I'm a fob. So, what's a fob? I asked my friends Youngmin Shin, Tia Valakuri, and my sister Brenda.
A fob is someone who is like fresh off the boat from some Asian country.
They don't assimilate into the community.
They've stayed hinged to their like previous values.
You could just tell that someone is fob just by looking at them.
On the other hand, I can go too far in trying to assimilate, and that's bad too. Then I'd be a coconut. Here's my cousin Keshav Sridhar and my sister. They say a coconut is
someone who's brown on the outside and then white on the inside.
Brown people who try to act like white people because they don't want to be Indians.
So they like refuse to accept that they're Indian. And so basically they over-assimilate.
My friends and I constantly walk this line between being a fob and a coconut. This makes life complicated sometimes. My family and I go to the Hindu temple every week. But my sister and I never wear casual Indian clothes in public. Right now, we're on our way back home from the temple, and we're still wearing our kurtas and churidars. We need to stop by the grocery store, but my sister Brenda refuses to go inside.
Daddy, everyone's gonna look at me weird. I don't want to.
I love to play veena at talent shows, but I never bring Indian food to school. My friend Tia Valakuri doesn't either.
It was to the point where, like, if my mom packed something, I would just, like, throw it away. So she thought I ate it, but I didn't eat it. And so like I would just not eat lunch because I was so worried that other people would like be like, what's that?
Tia and I feel like we're in limbo between two worlds that will never fully understand each other. That worries my dad.
As you try to assimilate whatever was your Indian culture, you lose say 25-50%, and in your next generation they're going to lose more of that.
I'm glad to claim two cultures as mine, but I'm never going to fit neatly into either one. I'm starting to accept that. For WUNC Youth Reporting Institute, I'm Gayathri Raghavendra.
My name is Kamaya Truitt-Martin, and this is the WUNC Youth Podcast. Thanks for listening.